Welcome to the Science and Paranormal with Dr. Jana and Dr. Elliot, where science meets the unexpected, where we delve deep into the mysteries that straddle the line between scientific inquiry and paranormal. Get ready for a mind-altering journey as we embark on this phenomenal discovery together on United Public Radio Network 107.7 FM.
Welcome to episode 21 of Science and the Paranormal with Dr. Jana and Dr. Elliot. Tonight we have a very special guest with us, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. We're going to be discussing the secrets of the fifth dimension. And Science and the Paranormal is broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM, based out of New Orleans, and also on Roku TV. Welcome, Dr. Goldberg.
Well, thank you very much for your kind invitation. And we're going to be discussing a topic that's dear to my heart, including my spiritual heart. It's about my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension. The subtitle is Parallel Universes, Teleportation, and Out-of-Body Travel.
So Dr. Goldberg, we need to introduce you properly. Oh, you okay. Are His Excellency, Dr. Hypnosis. Your Excellency, Dr. Hypnosis, that's exactly who you are, Dr. Goldberg. Well, a few words about this fantastic gentleman, fantastic doctor and professional. He is retired from dentistry. Dr. Bruce Goldberg developed the field of progression hypnotherapy along with the superconscious mind tapping healing technique through hypnosis. Author of 21 best-selling and award-winning books, including Past Lives, Future Lives, Dr. Bruce Goldberg owns a thriving international hypnotherapy practice based in Los Angeles. He's world's foremost authority on futuristic time travelers and has written multiple books that contain the only real accounts of their existence. So for several years, Dr. Goldberg practiced dentistry and used hypnosis in his dental patients in his practice, while also maintaining a separate full-time hypnosis practice. As his reputation spread, he gave up his dental practice and became the country's only full-time hypnotherapist specializing in future life progression and past life regression. So, Dr. Goldberg, it is very interesting that you have a bachelor's in biology and chemistry, such eclectic taste you have, and then master's in counseling psychology. Later, you went to psychology, and then you remastered yourself as a doctorate in dental surgery. So how come you had such different paths that led you to hypnotherapy?
Well, I was practicing dentistry first and, of course, using hypnosis for pain control and apprehension, the medical uses. But then I had read, when I was in dental school at the University of Maryland, I had read The Search for Bridey Murphy, which is a documented case of reincarnation from the 1950s in Colorado. And I got interested in the field, so I decided to experiment. So I was experimenting with taking a friend of mine, a woman I met when I was a grad student, into a past life to see whether I can do it. And I was just trying to experiment with the technique. And as working with her, she went into about 10 different lives, and she was able to overcome two habits and a phobia that I didn't know that she even had because I hadn't known her very well. So I saw the clinical uses of hypnosis, and that got me on the hypnotic bandwagon. So you might say now I drill into past and future lives rather than into teeth.
That is so fantastic, because not that many people look into the future, and I accidentally myself stumbled upon the future life exploration just by the request of one of my patients. And later that I discovered that you have already done this extensive work into future life progression.
Well, if you look at the background, you see this is my first book, Past Lives, Future Lives. Mm-hmm. This is a Ballantine book, and the original version of it was in 1982. So at that time when the book was published, it had about a third of the book, now it's a half of the book, had future-like progression cases. So the very first time I did this, I wasn't trying to do that. I asked the patient to go to the origin of a problem. I didn't say go back to the origin. Remember, right. The subconscious takes things literally.
Absolutely.
So she went into the 23rd century, and that was the birth of future-life progression hypnotherapy. So, of course, I use age progression going into the future of this life as well as future-life progression. So let me give you a quick case to show you how relevant future age progression in this life can be. Back in 1996, it was June, a woman came to me from New York City. She had just graduated from college. I called her Tammy, not her real name. You'll see the year is relevant. And she wanted to go out of the body and to do out-of-body experiences, which, of course, is a component of my Exploring the Fifth Dimension book. So I trained her to do that. And when you're out of the body, you're in the space-time continuum, which means you can see past, present, and future experiences at the same time. So while she was in town in L.A. for a week, she was able to see some things that would occur during the time she was in L.A., like a day in advance or 2 days in advance, and they came true. So she was very accurate. So now it's early June. She says to me she's going to go to Europe the last half of the summer and go to graduate school, right? Okay. So now she calls me at the end of June after she's back in New York now, and she says, "Doctor, this is Tammy. I have an emergency." And I said, "Look, Tammy, I left dentistry to get out of that. What's going on?" And she said, "I use your techniques. I wanted to see what my trip to Europe would be like. So I wanted to see what, you know, taking off in the plane from JFK. I said, "Okay, so what happened?" She goes, "I saw myself taking off in the plane from JFK. The plane goes up in the air and within a short period of time crashes and everybody on the plane dies, including me." Now, remember, this is supposed to be in about 3 weeks. So I said, "Tammy, look, let me solve your emergency. Change your flight plans and call me at the end of the summer, okay?" So she goes, "Oh, whatever. That sounds really good."
Makes sense.
She was a millennial. Okay, so now she calls me at the end of August. Now, this is where it becomes critical. She says, "Doctor, this is Tammy. I want to update you." And I said, "Please update me. Obviously, you survived." She said she was going to go on TWA Flight 800. July 17th, 1996, that plane took off from JFK, crashed into the Long Island Sound. All 230 crew members and passengers died. She would have been 231.
And that's incredible.
Her higher self did, because that's what connected her. But this is the relevancy and the value of going into the future.
That is absolutely incredible, because this way people are able to see into the future and then change the events. So essentially changing their destinies or not.
Well, remember, the way the future works when you deal with quantum physics is that we have what we call a plastic future. For example, in Tammy's case, had she decided to take the original flight, TWA Flight 800, she would have died. But she had free knowledge of that, or foreknowledge, and she changed her plan. So she changed her future. Now, of course, in a parallel universe, she probably died on the plane crash, because everything happens in all these universes. And we'll discuss that in a few minutes. But what I'd like to do is go into the out-of-body experience first, because we're talking about the fifth dimension. So we have length, width, and depth as our three-dimensional world that our senses are designed to perceive. Okay. Now, the fourth dimension technically is considered to be time by physicists, and then anything beyond time is the fifth dimension. So when you travel into the fifth dimension, out-of-body experiences, OBEs as we call that, the term that I use is called ultra-terrestrial, not extraterrestrial, ultra-terrestrial. So I'd like to discuss a little bit about what happens with these dimensions. There are many dimensions out there, but I want to talk about the six most common ones that people will relate to and that are important for their spiritual growth. So the first dimension is the physical plane. That's our current dimension. This is the plane of space, time, and matter and energy. This is what we used to. There are physical laws here that do not exist in the fifth dimension. So this is our three-dimensional world. Every dimension has a sound that's characterized by that dimension. For the earth plane or the physical plane, it's thunder. So you never want to try to do out-of-body experiences during a thunderstorm. It's not dangerous, but you're working against yourself. It's like a salmon swimming upstream. You want to wait till the thunderstorm ends before you do anything. The next dimension is the one that most people are familiar with, and that's the astral plane. Astral is a term that means starry. It was named during the Middle Ages. The astral plane is divided into the upper and the lower. The lower astral plane is a very nasty dimension that is the source of psychic attack. You never want to be there. It's a bad neighborhood. So it's if these entities that live there are permanent residents, they hate us, they want to destroy mankind, they can't, but they can create anxiety. So if you wake up in the middle of the night with a nightmare and you're yelling and screaming, you probably were on the lower astral plane. Now, the lower the astral plane also has an upper astral plane, which is a good dimension, which is why I train my patients to connect with their higher self, the perfect part of their soul. The sound of the astral plane is the roar of the sea, just like holding a seashell up to your ear. That's what the astral plane signifies. It's the source of our emotions. It's a very emotional dimension. It's the source of our psychic phenomena. And again, a lot of inventions can be determined here, because in the upper astral plane, there is the museum of the future. This is where I got my superconscious mind tap and my progression technique from. This is where Einstein probably spent a lot of time, Tesla, and a whole bunch of
people. Absolutely.
And he's go there, by the way. So if you're an inventor or you just want to develop your business on marketing plans, this is a great dimension to go to.
Well, that was so interesting, Dr. Goldberg, that you are stating that the higher astral plane has this interesting noise, that the waterfall. What is then the noise of the lower plane?
The lower astral plane also has the roar of the sea. But the reason why you can tell when you're there rather than the upper is because you have all these nasty entities like vampires and gargoyles and creepy monsters, and it's very noisy. Entities are trying to harass you. They're actually bullies. They can read your mind, so they have telepathic knowledge, as any fifth dimensional entity would. So it's not difficult to tell which dimension you're on, whether the upper or the lower. Now, the higher self, the perfect part of your soul, will never go to the lower astral plane. So if you're there, you're unprotected in a bad neighborhood, and you definitely don't want to be there.
So at night, as you were saying, that if we wake up with bad dreams, that we are probably in a lower astral plane. So how do we protect ourselves going to sleep in order to find ourselves in the higher astral plane?
Okay. Well, you can do that by simple exercises. On my website, I have several exercises about how to protect yourself. People use a white light protection, but I go into much more details than that. I go into details about balancing the chakras. And I have actually CDs that design people to use self-hypnosis to protect them. And they can do that before going to bed. And therefore, they can connect. See, the issue is here. If you leave through the third chakra, the belly button or solar plexus chakra, that's number three, you go to the lower astral plane. If you leave through the crown chakra, just above the top of the head, that's the highest of the chakras, you can only go to the upper astral. So that's why I train people to leave through the crown chakra. Now, any of the upper four chakras, heart, throat, third eye, and crown, will take you to the upper astral plane. So you don't want to leave through the lower astral plane. But people, when they go to sleep at night, they don't know what they're doing. They watch the news. They have fights with their spouse. They think of negative thoughts. And then they're going to go to the lower astral. So you want to...
We should never have any fights with our spouses, right? Should never have before we go to sleep.
If you want to fight with your spouse, do it at 7 o'clock in the evening, not at 11.
and then make up for sure, right?
Yes, make up. Now, the next dimension beyond the astral is the causal plane. And this is the smallest of all the dimension. The Akashic records, or the memories of all your past, present, future, and parallel lives, are kept on the causal plane. You can access the causal plane from any dimension, including the earth plane. The sound of the causal plane is the tinkling of bells. It's like being in a New Age bookstore. And it's a very tiny dimension. Now, beyond that is the mental plane, which is characterized by the sound of running water. And this is a very important dimension. This is where the sound Om comes in. A lot of the masters from history, like a Jesus, a Buddha, etc., would hang out in the mental plane. The nice thing about the mental plane, it's very easy to determine if you're there, because if you're driving in a car on the freeway, all the roads are iridescent blue in color. It's the only dimension that has that. Why? Because their soil is iridescent blue in color, and they make their roads from the soil. all the residents of the mental plane dressed in white smocks. They look like little angels, and the buildings are geometrical in design. So it's very easy to determine when you're on the mental plane. Now, beyond that is a really significant dimension, one that I use therapeutically. This is called the etheric plane. The etheric plane is the largest of all the lower five dimensions. These make up the karmic cycle. It's characterized by the buzzing of bees as a sound. It's not annoying, but you do hear a buzzing of bees. It's the origin of etheric plane surgeons. Now, why do I use that? I train my patients to connect with their higher self, which will guide them into the etheric plane. Now, when you enter into a dimension like the astral plane, the soul occupies the astral body. If you go into the causal plane, it occupies the causal body, okay? All these spiritual bodies are different somewhat to the physical body. The astral body, for example, is taller, thinner, and younger looking than the physical body. So you can see women like to go there a lot, okay? The etheric body, however, is the only spiritual body that is identical molecule to molecule to the physical body. So why is that important? First of all, without the etheric body, you would die instantly, but nobody has to worry about that. The etheric plane surgeons, let's say somebody has a terminal disease. They got cancer, lupus, AIDS, or something that's terminal. Well, the etheric plane surgeons, once you request their audience, it's not easy to do that, they will operate on the etheric body. You say, well, so what? What does that do with the physical body? Because the techniques I developed, you can transfer the healing from the etheric body to the physical when you return to the physical body upon awakening. And if you do that, the healing of the etheric body will be transferred to the physical, and now you can cure that supposedly incurable disease. And I work with, again, I don't take credit for this, it's the etheric plane surgeons that do it, but I work with patients with cancer and lupus and all these incurable diseases. And the percentage is low, but when it works, it's a brilliant technique. So the etheric plane is my favorite dimension because of the healing aspect of that. Now, these five planes, the etheric, mental, causal, astral, and physical, represent the karmic cycle. That's where you reincarnate until you perfect the soul. The sixth plane above that, which is not part of the karmic cycle, I call it the DMZ of spiritual dimensions, is the soul plane, as I call it. This is where you go after you die or cross into spirit on any of these dimensions. You go to the soul plane to choose your next life. Eventually, when you perfect the soul, then you will ascend into the higher planes and rejoin the God energy complex. The sound of the soul plane is a single note of a flute. It's a beautiful sound. And when you go there, the permanent residents of the soul plane are like floating heads. It's really weird, but they are very positive entities. All these dimensions, by the way, are positive. The only ones that are negative is the lower astral plane and this one.
When you're now, Dr. Goldberg, we can find all this information in detail in your book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, right?
Right. I'm just trying to summarize it, but Exploring the Fifth Dimension depicts in much more detail than I'm describing. But I just want to describe how, when people travel, they say, which dimension am I on? How do I know when I'm on a certain dimension? And how can I use it for my spiritual growth, you see? So if you want to develop yourself philosophically, you go to the mental plane. If you want to heal yourself, you go to the etheric plane. If you want to read your Akashic records, you go to the causal plane. So that's why I describe it.
That is so fantastic to know, because I did not know that. And through my spiritual exercises, I would go to different planes and I would hear different sounds. And I did not find any information any place else on that. And I thought, okay, this must be just my observation. You, on the other hand, have already done all this extensive research and like running after you.
Well, the way this started is that I've been in this field for 50 years. In fact, January of this year was my 50th anniversary in this field. And when I developed the fifth dimensional travel, because I'm accessing or training people to access the higher self, which is, it lives in the fifth dimension. So I became an expert on the fifth dimension. And in doing so, I wanted, as a scientist, as well a researcher, as well as a clinician, I wanted to know everything I could about the fifth dimension. Well, in reading the metaphysical literature and going back into the old days of the spiritualists from the 1800s and early 1900s, they don't really document the different dimensions as such. They describe a little bit of it, The East Indian literature is actually better than that. If you read the Puranas and the Vedas of East India, but they still didn't really lay it out. And I like to lay things out like a spreadsheet. So I did my own research, went to all these dimensions, of course, and was able to detail and then document what these dimensions consist of. So you're right. When people do their, even if they go out of the body and say, hey, I've been out of the body many times, but they don't know the different dimensions because nobody's talking about it except for me. And I don't know who else is documenting as much as I did. If they read my books, obviously they'll know about it, and I wish they would. But I want to have people to understand the details and how they can use these dimensions for their own growth. Remember, they're all positive, but if you want to heal yourself and you're hanging around the astral plane or the causal plane, you're not going to get the healing that you would in the etheric plane, you see? So I want people to know which dimension is best for them for whatever their purpose is.
That is so incredible. And we all thank you for doing this extensive research, because if I did not have any idea and actually had been doing the spiritual work for such a long time, then the chances are that there are people who want to know this information and didn't know and never came across. So we thank you for doing that and sharing it with us.
I have one question for you, Dr. Goldberg. Where would you say like demonic entities would fit in? Would they be in the lower astral plane?
Or the lower astral. They're all lower astral. Remember, they're permanent residents of a lower astral. I don't believe in a devil, but I do believe in the lower level demonics. The other ones that attack people psychically. See, let me show you how this works. There's a hierarchy. I deal with psychic self-defense. Quite a few of my patients are under psychic attack. Some of them with black magic attack, and some of them just energy vampires that are around your daily life, you know, that kind of thing.
So yeah, we get reports of that as well through paranormal phenomena research of us.
Right. People feeling, and there's also a very well known, but it's around. There's a syndrome called Hands in the Night syndrome. And when I wrote my book, Protected by the Light, which is about psychic self-defense, this is what it means. People will wake up in the middle of the night and they'll feel like hands are trying to choke them. This is called Hands of a Night syndrome. This is a lower astral trying to do that. Now, they can't physically harm you. They can psychologically stress you and make you feel anxious. And they would try to threaten you that they can destroy you, but they can't. All they can do is scare you. They're like a bad movie. But the lower astral, these lower level demonic, so they have a hierarchy. So when somebody's attacking you, it's usually a lower level gopher type entity, right? So the problem with this for them is that when they attack you, they go back to their supervisors. Remember, they live in this dimension, 24 hours a day of bullying. And the supervisor is going to say, okay, did you attack Charlie? And they'll say, yeah, I did. They'll lie all the time. But you can't lie and get away with it because they can read your mind. So if they fail in their psychic attack, the supervisors, the higher level or mid-level entity, will then beat the living crap out of them. And it's, they have no incentive to fail on the psychic attack. So when I train people to protect themselves, that pretty much eliminates the psychic attack after time. Sometimes you have to do it for a while because there's no way in the world. They're not stupid because there's 8 billion people on the planet. They can attack anyone. Most people are unprotected. Just about everybody's unprotected. So here, I train people to be protected, and if they continue attacking, they're going to get a shock in return, like an electrical shock, and they'll get beaten up by their supervisors. So psychic self-defense is a major technique that I do with all my patients because there's so much negative energy. Most of it's due to like the media and the various things on this planet. That's fine. Not fine, but it's relevant. But the lower astral plane is much more severe because that place is really, it's what people consider to be hell or purgatory. The reason why it's not hell is because you can get out of the lower astral. So I train my patients when they go to the lower astral, and they will occasionally, I train them to go out from the lower astral to the upper astral in the same sleep cycle, because they go through about four or five sleep cycles a night, and some of them will be in the lower astral if they're not trained well, but then they can be trained to go to the upper astral, and now the entities can't attack them. So if you spend your time in the upper astral every night, you're going to have no psychic attack, and you're going to have one spiritual positive life in front of you.
Well, now, where those demonic entities come from?
We don't know. They came from the beginning of the universe, before the Big Bang. We don't know. But they're permanent residents. They don't have a past life. They don't have an earth plane life. Now, a spirit guide. So let me separate, because you've got angel, spirit guides, and lower level demonics. Let me separate them and the higher self. The higher self is the perfect part of your soul. eventually you will merge with it. That's what atonement means, at-one-ment with your higher self, and then you ascend. So the higher self is you in your perfect form, okay? So that's one. Now, a spirit guide is somebody that you probably knew in a past life, but they have evolved spiritually beyond your level, so they can advise you and work with you, but they were human. So that's what a spirit guide is. An angel is a direct messenger from God. They were never human, they're perfect beings, and they're here for our benefit. Now, a lower level demonic or demonic entity from the lower astral plane, we don't know where they come from. They're just, you call them a fallen angel, whatever you can call them. But we don't know their origin. They've just been around forever, and they're not the kind of people you want to have over for lunch, right? They're very nasty. In fact, most of the comic book characters, the vampires and werewolves and all these gargoyles, those are lower astral entities that modern day or earth plane writers have gotten by their lower astral plane experiences, and they documented them for their novels and their movies and their feature films. So that's where they come from. But that's what the lower astral entities are like. Whereas the upper astral plane, everybody's human-like, and it's a much more positive dimension. So let me compare the two, just so people know, because a lot of your viewers will have these experiences. The lower astral plane, you feel feelings of confusion and bewilderment. Whereas in the upper astral plane, you're alert, you have feelings of peace and happiness. The lower astral plane is like a misty or foggy environment, like looking through a cheesecloth, whereas the upper astral plane is earth-like and a very beautiful environment, very pastoral scene. The presence of bizarre entities are only on the lower astral, not on the upper. The lower astral is noisy and disorganized, whereas the upper astral is quiet and organized, and there's no possibility of spiritual growth on the lower astral. You can only lose, so to speak, whereas the upper astral, you have connection with your higher self and therefore unlimited spiritual growth. So that's the difference between the two. It's not just nightmares. Some of these are subtle, but if you look at those, and those differences, by the way, are in my Exploring the Fifth Dimension book. I document that in detail. So I'd like people to know that. And there's also about 65 exercises in my book so they can practice various techniques about going out of the body. Now, what I'd like to do is discuss a little bit about teleportation, because that's a topic that you don't really hear much about in detail. And I'm a detail kind of guy. So
Before we go there, I wanted to ask you a question. So if we talk about the parallel universes, right, and the possible futures, so these entities, they are in fact existing in a parallel universe. However, we do not see them. Correct, but they are able to see us and communicate with us and even hear our thoughts, as you said.
So the parallel universe, we're going to get to that last here. Parallel universe is a little bit different concept. When you see these lower astrals, they are on our universe. They're not on a parallel universe necessarily, although they do exist on parallel universes as we do too, which I'll discuss with the parallel universe section. But here's the point. These entities, they see us as an auric field. They don't see us as a human being. So we have seven colors of the rainbow that make up our auric field: red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet. Now, if you're angry, you're going to have red as your dominant color. If you're in a healing mentality, it's going to be green, maybe blue. That's a healing color too. Okay. So if you're very spiritual, if you're practicing yoga or some metaphysical meditation or hypnosis, you're going to have a violet orientation to your aura. So when the lower astral entities see people that are dysfunctional, they're depressed, they have psychological or other issues, they're going to see a gray over tinge to your auric field. Then they're going to be on you like a cheap suit because they know they can attack you. You're vulnerable. So you don't want to project a negative aura. You want to project positivity, and that will keep the bad boys away from you. So that's what I mean by, but they see us as an auric field.
Is so important to know, because a lot of us, we don't understand how do we attract this sort of entities into our lives. But we know that when we are in low spirits, for example, we attract them more. So now scientifically, we already know why, because we are vibrate on different colors.
But there's another aspect here, because I do interviews with a lot of different networks and podcasts, and people will contact me and they'll say, "Hey, Doc, can I smoke a joint before I do your out-of-body experience?" The answer is, No. If you take recreational drugs, you're going to go to the lower astral plane and Darth Vader is going to have a conversation with you. So you don't want to ever use recreational drugs.
Well, then how come then people say that they had a bad trip, right? And a good trip. So when it is a bad trip, they go on a lower plane. And when they have a good trip, they say that, oh, they have this transformational experiences and they see angels, a guide, Jesus.
Okay, so let me give you an example of a couple from Phoenix, Arizona. So I was working with this woman a few years ago. She was working with accessing her higher self and doing spiritual techniques. And she goes, doctor, I need to have a 2-week break between our next session. And I said, sure. Any particular reason? She goes, her and her husband are going to go into the desert for a spiritual retreat. And I said to her, well, you live in Phoenix. That is a desert. Okay. All right. So I said, do me a favor. Let me give you a piece of advice. Is ayahuasca going to be part of your spiritual retreat? Mm-hmm. She goes, duh, yes. And I said, you know my attitude. I'm telling you right now, my advice to you is don't take the ayahuasca. I know you're going to ignore me because I know who you are, but I'm just telling you, forewarned is forearmed. So 2 weeks go by, I don't hear from her. 3 weeks go by, I don't hear from her. So I call her on her cell phone. She picks up the phone. She goes, oh, doctor, this is so-and-so. I'm so glad you called. I need to see you. I said, so how was the spiritual retreat? Her and her husband had just gotten out of the intensive care unit.
Yeah,
that should give you all you need to know about ayahuasca. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen every time. Why risk it? And not only that, but you're not going to have, I know the shamans in Peru, and I know all these people that are using it. I'm just telling you, you're asking for trouble by using, we're not designed. Our body is designed as a factory. I have my medical background here, and we produce almost all of our amino acids, our essential ones, except for 8. You have a banana in the morning and you got your amino acids. We produce ethyl alcohol. We produce cholesterol, the good kind. We produce everything we need just about. So we don't need DMT or ayahuasca, which is DMT.
But we also produce DMT in smaller quantities.
We produce it in the blood-brain barrier, but do you have a psychedelic experience every day of your life?
Right.
I don't. Mm-hmm. And I have a blood-brain barrier. I don't know why I produce it because it doesn't serve any purpose. There's no real medical, biochemical, or neurological use of the DMT. So I don't know why we got that. But again, it's a very small amount that's in the blood-brain barrier, which is where our neurotransmitters are produced, and it doesn't do any harm. So you don't need anything artificial. Just like when I train my patients to slow down the aging process, I'm training them to increase their production of DHEA, which is produced by the adrenal glands and the gonads. It's dehydroepiandrol sulfate, so to speak, biochemically. And people can go out and buy it in the health food store. The problem is it's from a sheep. It's not natural to your body. And you're going to have side effects, a lot of side effects, which are nasty. And, you know, women are going to have deep voices. Men are going to grow breasts, you know, things like that. You don't need that in your life. Let your body produce DHEA naturally by using meditation and hypnosis. So I like the idea of naturalness versus artificiality. So I'd like to discuss a little bit about teleportation now. By the way, everything we're discussing here deals with the fifth dimension. So out-of-body experiences, your soul, the life force, the prana of the East Indians, or the subconscious of our Western terminology, goes into a spiritual body and goes around the world or goes into different planets. You can do anything. Now, but the physical body doesn't go anywhere without a body experiences. Now, teleportation is different. In teleportation, the big T word, as I describe it, you actually move the physical body from one location to another. That is very significant. You can go anywhere. You can travel to Paris. You can go to Nova Scotia. You can go to anywhere with physically by using this. So let me give you an example of one of my patients reporting his experience. And I'll tell you about my experience. I've done this too. It felt almost like I was caught in a giant web. Suddenly, the world exploded into countless billions of glowing threads. They stretched away in all directions and intersected everything, including me. The overall effect was very similar to looking at a hologram, except it was visceral as well as visual. You could see, feel the image. That was his experience as a teleportator. Now, I'm going to give you my experience. I'm going to tell you about some very classic ones. So back when I was in the East Coast, I used to live in Baltimore, Maryland. It was the end of December, I remember I was watching a playoff game, football playoff game in December, and it was really cold. It wasn't snowing, but it was like 12 degrees outside. And I really hate cold weather, which is why I live in Los Angeles now. So I was thinking, you know, my best vacation at that time was going to Montego Bay, Jamaica. Had a great vacation between Christmas and New Year, several years before. But meanwhile, I can't go there now because I have a new patient coming in on Monday morning and I haven't planned for anything. So I have to be stuck in Baltimore. So I said, you know, I'm going to teleport. I've got the afternoon to kill. So why don't I just go to Montego Bay? So now I had three miniature schnauzers at the time that were in living with me, right? So I changed my clothes, put on my bathing suit, my little Zoris, my little radio, and my sunglasses and my copper tone, and I lie on the couch, and my dogs are looking at me like, what the heck is this guy doing, right? I mean, they have no idea what I'm doing. So I lie there, put on my little CD to teleport, and the next thing I know, I'm on Montego Bay on the beach. It's the afternoon, okay? So I said, wow, this is cool. I just arrived there. So now I'm only a few feet away from a woman. She looks like a college student, maybe in her early 20s, and she's on a blanket there, and she's only like 10 feet away from me. So she turns around, she goes, where did you come from? Because you can't run fast on the beach, you know, sand, right? And I said, well, I travel quickly. Do you mind if I put my towel down? And she goes, no, I'd like to talk to you, okay? So we're talking together and swimming and having a good old time. So now she says to me, she goes, are you going to stay here long in Montego Bay? She knew I was not from there. And I said, no, my flight leaves soon. She goes, well, if you are here, I come here to the same beach area every afternoon and I'd like to see you again. I said, okay. The next thing I know, I'm back in Baltimore. I'm in my living room. And you say, people say, doctor, that was an out-of-body experience, or it was not real, except two things. Number one,
you had your magic carpet, right? Your towel, your magic carpet.
My bathing suit was soaking wet. I had sand in my sneakers, and I had a suntan. Trust me, you can't do suntan with hypnotic suggestion. It's impossible. So basically, I was in Montego Bay, is what I'm saying. Now, so you say, well, that's fine, but what about documentation to this? So let me give you the most documented case of teleportation. It goes back to the year 1593 in Mexico City, Mexico. Now, in those days, the Spanish government owned Mexico as a colony. On October 25th, 1593, a Spanish soldier who was guarding the governor of Manila in the Philippines, he was guarding the governor, but the governor was killed in an assassination. His name was Gil Perez. The next thing Gil Perez knows, he's transferred 9,000 miles away to Mexico City. Now, this is 1593. There are no jets. So he's in the middle of the square in Mexico City. He doesn't know what's going on. Now, in those days, the Spanish government had their own style of guns and uniform versus Mexico. Mexico had a completely different style of gun and uniform. So he's picked up in, you know, the cops are there, the federales, whatever. And they said, who are you? He says, he's very nervous. He goes, I tried to protect the governor, but he got killed. The governor was fine. What are you talking about? He says, Governor Don Gomez Perez Das Maranas. He says, that's the governor of the Philippines. What are you talking about? You're crazy. You're loco. They put him in jail. So now we have the historical people in Mexico documenting this guy. The Catholic Church was called in, Mexico being very Catholic, and they decide to do an exorcism because they think he's crazy. So now we have the Catholic Church documenting this guy. So he's in jail for 2 months. Remember, it's October 25th. Around Christmas time, the Spanish government would send the ships around the world to their colonies, right? So they go from Manila, and then they go around to Mexico. So now they arrive in Mexico, and when they go to the mayor's office or down to the politician's area, the guy says, we're bringing the news. And he says, okay, so what's new in the Philippines? He says, well, the governor was murdered. He said, really? When? October 25th. He says, we got somebody we'd like to introduce you to. So they take him to the jail cell. And the guy goes, Gil Perez, my man, what's going on? Now we have a documentation of the Catholic Church, the Vatican, and the historical people in Mexico in 1593. So what happened was Gil Perez did two things. One, he teleported 9,000 miles away, but he did that 12 hours prior to the death of the governor. He came there on the 24th at about 9 o'clock in the evening rather than 9 o'clock in the morning on the 25th. So when you teleport, you can go back or forward in time is what I'm saying. And that's how time travels from our future travel to us. They teleport in the 35th century and beyond and come back in time. They can travel that way. So Gil Perez is the most documented case of teleportation.
But that was an unintentional teleportation, and you have done it intentional. Now, how many times in your life have you done that kind of teleportation, like you went to the beach?
Well, you can't do this routinely. I've done that 3 or 4 times, but I have patients of mine who have also done this, especially on an emergency level. So let me give you an emergency.
Are there negative consequences for that?
There are no negative. You're not going to teleport underwater and drown. You're not going to teleport in the middle of a mountain. Teleportation goes back in history. A lot of religious figures have done that, but also lay people have done that. If you go back in time, we're looking at least a couple of thousand years of history of teleportation. The most numerous cases are in England and Argentina, for whatever reason. But let me give you an example of an LA version, not me, but mm-hmm. somebody else. I'm working with a woman who is, she's very insecure. She's dating a guy who is beating her up. He's very psychologically abusive. And she's trying to break up with the guy, but she's too insecure to do that because she doesn't want to be lonely. So one day she's on the freeway in Los Angeles, the 405 freeway here, and they're having an argument. And this guy opens up the passenger door, throws her out on the freeway, right? Going like 70 miles an hour. There's a car going in the opposite direction who's about to run her over. Now, when I'm working with her at teleportation, I was training her. I gave her a post-hypnotic instruction for that. She panicked, didn't know what to do. So she used my post-hypnotic instruction. She twisted her ankle so she couldn't run. The next thing she knows, she's on her couch in her living room with a twisted ankle. Now, the guy who was going to run into her stops his car. Her boyfriend stops the car. And they're going, where is she? She disappeared. Well, she teleported from the freeway back to her Los Angeles apartment. And fortunately, subsequently after that, she was able to break up with this jerk and to get on with a decent relationship. But my point was, that was an emergency teleportation that literally saved her life. I didn't save her life. It was her higher self that did that. So your higher self controls all these techniques of meditation, out-of-body experiences, and teleportation. So that's
fascinating.
Teleportation having a very positive outcome. And there's no danger with teleportation. It's hard to do. It's the hardest thing in the world to do with hypnosis, I can tell you that. But when it works, it has very positive consequences.
Well, if you were able to go to Antigua and lay on the beach and speak to that lady, can you intentionally go into the future, for example, not in the present time in your life? Can you go intentionally into the future to find out some events there, or actually travel to the past if the time is non-linear, and also change something in your past that would have an effect in the present?
That's a good question. So you see my book, Past Lives, Future Lives. In that book, mm-hmm. I document the next 1,000 years of technology and what the world is going to be like, because I get this from my patients. I have also myself, to corroborate my patients' information, traveled into the future. That was more of an out-of-body experience, not a teleportation into the future. Now, in reference to, you're talking about the grandfather paradox, which we talk about where, let's say you go back in time like Michael J. Fox from Back to the Future Part 1. Mm-hmm. Let's say you killed your grandfather.
Great movie.
Although in his case, he was thinking of having a romantic relationship with his mother. But anyway, but let's say you go back in time.
That's a separate story. That's different diagnosis.
Story for another time.
That's not my script. Okay, so let's say you go back in time and you accidentally kill your grandfather. Will you automatically disappear in the current universe?
Yes.
The answer is no. Because when you go back in time, you go back to a parallel universe, not the current one. So if you killed your grandfather in that trip, you would kill your grandfather in the parallel universe. And in that parallel universe, you would not exist. But the one that you're in now, you would have no problemos. You would be around, no problem. So you understand, there's an unlimited, according to quantum physics, the M theory and the string theory, there, and the multidimensional theory of Hugh Everett III from Princeton University in 1957, there's an unlimited number of universes. Every time you have a thought, you create a new universe. I know it's weird, but that's what the math shows. And so therefore, there's an unlimited number of parallel universes. The ones that are very far away, you're not going to deal with. In a parallel universe, you know, the England could have won the American Revolution. Hitler could have won World War II. But we're so far away from those universes, they're not relevant to us. The ones that I deal with are the ones that are sister universes that are very close to us. For example, if your viewers want to read Scientific American, the August 2000 issue, where they did their main feature story on parallel universes, at the bottom of page 67, who remembers that, you're going to see the closest sister universe to us is less than a millimeter away. You know how close a millimeter is? Okay, that's how close our sister universe is. This is called the brain theory, B-R-A-N-E. That's how they spell it, like a membrane. So we have parallel universes that are very close. So the question is, let's say you have a really bad life. Your life is in the toilet. Maybe you have a criminal record. Maybe you have medical problems. Maybe you lost an arm, whatever it is. And there's no hope for you. So I don't recommend suicide to anyone ever. But okay, don't worry about it. Go into a parallel universe where things are different. Because when you do what I call the new you technique, where I lay out these parallel universes, then you can switch into the ones that are more ideal. For example, again, putting myself in my research. In 1992, I was approached by a good friend of mine from the East Coast who had moved out here. He's a writer, and he wanted to do a movie for television on one of my cases of past life regression that was documented. Okay, now, as we were working along on the project, CBS was involved. There was a problem with the production. One of the guys they hired sued the network, and the network didn't want anything to do with the show. So they said they're not going to do the movie. Now, my guy here is like panicking. He's one of these people who, no matter how much money he makes, he's always in debt. That's a very LA approach to life, you know? So he said, the name is Alex. So I said, Alex is panicking. He goes, I need to get this project done. And I said, I will fix it. He says, the network doesn't want to hear from you. I said, I'm not going to talk to those energy vampires. What I'm going to do, however, is use my new you technique. He says, whatever. So now I use my technique. I go into the future of the different parallel universes, and I see that on a certain frequency, which is what I use as a parallel universe, that the movie was going to air. Plus, a lot of other things were going to happen on that universe. People I would meet, women I would date, business deals I would be involved with, network people I would deal with, like George Norrie from Coast to Coast, guy I do regular interviews with. So I said, you know, I'm going to switch. What the heck? Because the movie is not going to air on this universe, even though I had a pretty good life, but this one was better. So I did my technique, switch paths. The next thing I know, I get a call from CBS, Television City, and they say, Doctor, we need you to come into our publicity room here, our conference room. We're preparing for the movie to be filmed in North Carolina, in Wilmington, North Carolina. May 17th, 1994, CBS aired The Search for Grace. Network television, CBS. Okay. So what happened was I switched universes. I'm in a universe that I wasn't in 30 years ago. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. And I work with many of my patients that have done that. I'll give you one example of a case that has a lot of replications to it. So I was working with this woman from Detroit, Michigan. And she was an elderly woman, and her husband was probably in his early 70s. They wanted to retire and move to Florida. Okay, but they had a lot of financial problems, and there was a lot of issues going on. So she was born and raised in Detroit, and she said, you know, can I do your parallel universe thing? Because I don't know what's going to happen, and I have a pretty lousy life right now. So I do the techniques, and I see that in her current frequency, she was going to go shopping on a Saturday evening downtown Detroit and be shot and killed at an intersection by a drive-by shooter. Not a good concept, right? So I said to her, I said, now look, why don't we do a little parallel universe switching, because this is not a happy camper. So she goes, okay, I got nothing to lose, right? All right. So now I do the technique with her, the new you technique, and now she eventually leaves Detroit. Her and her husband move to Florida. She contacts me several months later. Now, when you live in a place like Miami, you can get your hometown newspapers. They would sell them on the various cities. You know, you can get them, right? So the Detroit, whatever it's called, or whatever the main newspaper is. So she would get the newspaper, especially on the Saturday evening that she was supposed to be shot and killed, right? So what she finds out, and she tells me this, on that particular evening, somebody else was shot and killed at that exact intersection. Not her, but somebody else. She changed her future by switching into a parallel universe by using the new you technique. So this is how parallel universes can actually benefit you. In fact, there's no way you can be harmed by it because nobody is dumb enough to choose a lousy frequency. Okay, they always choose the positive ones, as I did. So
this is absolutely fascinating, and not that many people know about it. And my question is that if we go, for example, into the past lives and we explore our past lives, now, do we go into the parallel universes or do we actually go to the one that is necessarily related to us? Because
the answer is, you basically stay in the same universe unless you specifically request your higher self to take you into a parallel universe. So when you go back in time to a parallel past life or fold into a future life, you're pretty much going to stay in the same universe. You have to specifically request your higher self to do that switch. And usually the higher self won't do that because the higher self wants you to grow spiritually in your current life. And whenever I do the parallel universe switching, I always train patients to increase their spiritual growth in this life because there is a very subliminal connection between universes. So you always want to grow spiritually in this life or this universe before you do the switching. I don't just switch them the first time I see them because that's really unethical because they're not going to have as good a choice. I like them to have maximum choices.
That is incredible because speaking into being able to change the circumstances of the future, I remember several years back, a friend of mine asked me to go to LA here from San Diego to go to LA on a day trip on a motorcycle. And immediately in my mind, I had a picture that we collided with other motorcyclists and he died in my arms.
Oh my goodness.
And I said, we are not going in a motorcycle, but we're going to take the car.
Okay.
That was not really understandable to him, but nevertheless, we took the car. And he was so very upset. And all this way, he was arguing with me that why did we take a car in such a nice weather? We should have taken a motorcycle. And we're passing the place, the spot on the road, on the highway, on the 5, where we were supposedly at this time had to collide with another motorcyclist. And the interesting thing was that by passing that passage on the highway, I could see that two other motorcyclists, they collided, and a woman was on the floor next to the motorcycle holding her friend, her man, in her arms, and he died. And I was speechless because that was supposed to be me.
A couple of comments. Number one, maybe you saw that particular vision rather than yourself. That's one option.
But I saw the face of my friend.
Okay, but let's say it was that would have been you and your friend who would have died. The your higher self would be the one trying to prevent that. This is where your higher self can spiritually assist you. Just like that woman in Detroit. It's the same principle there. You see, so, but remember, on each of these parallel universes, all these events are going to occur. So the question is, your higher self will help you if you request it, and you're obviously more psychic than usual, the average person, and since you're involved in parapsychology, that gives you a special insight and experience here, as well as development that would be beyond most average people who don't have that background. Just like I can do things and do my experiences with the future by using hypnosis. Remember, all these disciplines are shamanic. The shamanism goes back 50,000 years ago in Siberia. That's the origin of shamanism. That's energy healing. So anytime anybody does acupuncture, Tibetan medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, hypnosis, meditation, all these are Reiki healing, all these are shamanic disciplines. So the shamans back in Siberia, back 50,000 years ago, they developed some very sophisticated techniques, including out-of-body experiences, because they would go into the fifth dimension to look for lost souls. That was their main technique in shamanism. So these techniques have a long history. I don't know any other history of psychological or medical techniques that goes back 50,000 years other than shamanism.
Absolutely fascinating. I can't believe this. It's just blowing my mind, and it's very trippy to listen to. We're all listening to Science and the Paranormal, broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM from New Orleans, and also on Roku TV. So this is very fascinating, because you're taking a lot of parapsychological concepts in here. Like when Dr. Yana had that vision, some people would say that would have been precognition, you know, in the parapsychology world. But then, you know, the higher self reaching out to you to try and warn you, or, you know, give you the heads up that you might be making a decision that you shouldn't be. How does somebody get in touch with their higher self? What kind of things do you recommend to, you know, get in touch with that higher self?
So basically, to make it simple, a lot of your viewers probably do meditation. Now, meditation is neurologically an alpha brainwave. That's the dominant wave. It's the same thing as hypnosis. The only difference is technique. In hypnosis, you don't use mantras. It's alpha is alpha, no matter what you call it. So I recommend they use meditation or hypnosis. I prefer self-hypnosis because you don't have to do all kinds of rituals. You don't have to be in a lotus position. You don't have to focus in on a mantra. You don't have to burn incense in the background. You don't have to do any of the rituals, okay? So you use hypnosis, an alpha brainwave technique. Some people use biofeedback too. That's fine, except you use machines. I don't like machines. And then you connect with, you request an audience with your higher self, especially before going to bed. And then you do some spiritual protection. So you go to the upper astral plane, not the lower. And then your higher self will assist you in doing whatever it does. By the way, when people want to contact their spirit guides, because I also work with my patients in doing that, and I wrote a book called Spirit Guide Contact Through Hypnosis, the higher self is the agent that brings in the spirit guides. So if you want to contact the spirit guide, don't just do it directly. They're not going to listen to you. You get the higher self first, and then the higher self makes the referral, because the higher self knows exactly which of the guides you need at that particular moment.
So the referral system works even there.
So think of it as like, let's say you have a problem with your kidney and you go to your general practice physician. You can't just contact the kidney specialist. You got to go to the GP physician first, and then he makes the referral. That's the way the higher self works.
Interesting. We had a listener as well, Joe Fox, ask, how does someone protect themselves? So what are some protection techniques as well when you start involved?
Okay, so the most common one that people read about is the white light protection. And that's fine, because the higher self normally represents itself the most commonly as a white light. It could be a gold light too, or but it's usually a white light. But that isn't going to work on significant psychic attacks. What you want to do is do something more exotic. So I refer to this as higher chakra balancing the fourth through the seventh chakra. That's the heart, throat, third eye, and crown chakra. And I have a CD program. I have a program called the Spiritual Growth Experience, which has six different CDs associated with it, starting with psychic protection from negativity, going through a spirit guide contact and advanced out-of-body experiences. So this will train you to protect yourself from even medium grade psychic attacks, which are pretty nasty. And therefore you go to the upper astral plane regularly, and then you can work with your higher self. Once you're in the upper astral plane, you're home free. The higher self won't work with you every night, because remember, you only have one higher self, but you have an unlimited number of parallel selves in parallel universes. So it's sort of like a mother cat feeding a billion kittens, okay? So you have to get its attention. But because I'm not working with you, or your other parallel selves are not doing these techniques, you're more likely to get the attention of the higher self. And then the higher self will work with you mano on womano or mano on mano or whatever, and help you to do the spiritual growth experience, because it will help seal the auric field to protect you from psychic attack. And then it will do some healing itself, and things it can't do, it will bring in spirit guides that are specialized. You've got a whole bunch of different spirit guides. Some work with your psychological growth. Some work with your abundance. I call that karmic capitalism. Some work with your relationships, the business things, all kinds of categories that you have. And there are different spirit guides that work with each of these goals. And as you go, as you grow spiritually, you're going to have a new set of spirit guides that are more advanced as you grow spiritually. The ultimate purpose of this is, of course, ascension and perfection of the goal of this, of the soul, so that you can get out of the karmic cycle. That's the only reason why we're here. Everything else is earth plane caca, as I call it. Mm-hmm. The only purpose is getting out of here. Do not pass go. Go to the soul plane, ascend, go into the higher plane like a Buddha, except Buddha hangs around here, supposedly, and then rejoin the God energy complex from whence we came. And that's the purpose of, and by the way, people can use these techniques to meet a soulmate, the other part of your original oversoul. We call that a soulmate, a twin flame, so to speak. You can use these techniques for anything. There's nothing wrong with it. The universe will help you. But remember, the universe isn't here for our titillation. So people want to use progression techniques to win lottery numbers or sporting events. Don't do it. It's not going to work, because the universe doesn't care about your titillation. It cares about spiritual growth. So you don't want to violate universal laws.
You know, this is so interesting that you mentioned that, because I had a friend who was also a parapsychologist, and he was probably like 10 years older than me. So he was practicing longer than I did. So one time, and we all lived in Baku, in Azerbaijan, where I'm from. So now he moved to San Francisco, and that probably was about maybe 6-7 years ago. He moved to San Francisco, and then he called me up. He found me here as well. And he said, listen, I am trying to win the lottery numbers, the Powerball lottery. He said, the interesting thing is that I can never get the last number. And would you help me? I said, listen, if I get you the last number, first, I don't do such things, and I don't like playing lottery. And but if I give you the number, you know, you have to use it. Of course, I've been doing all this work. The only number I do not get, that's why I'm asking you. So I meditate and I get the number and I say, this is a number. Now you have to use it. Next morning, I look at the numbers, and those are all our numbers, including the one that I gave him.
No,
so I'm calling. All of a sudden, I think that I'm rich. And my idiot friend said that I did not use your number. He nearly killed himself. He said, I got one more number that I thought was the magic number, and I decided not to use yours. And was so crazy to me. But then again, the universe protects you. People who do spiritual work, people who are in this field, are not supposed to be winning such great, crazy loads of money. And we didn't win, of course. And I knew it. How I knew it, because I knew that he did not get on the next financial level. He lived where he lived, renting an apartment in San Francisco. So I would have known if he had gotten rich. But what is your opinion, Dr. Goldberg? Do we have the right to use our gifts? Like you said, that don't do that, it's not going to happen. But it happened here. He still did not use it.
If the universe feels it's necessary. So I'm going to give you an example. I noticed there was a chat question about definition of karma, which I'll go into in a minute. So years ago, I was doing a radio show in Baltimore, and it had a very large audience. It covered a lot of states. And a guy calls me up. He's a former patient of mine. He used to work in General Motors as an automobile factory worker. He hurt himself and was retired on disability. He was couldn't work, you know, and he wanted to open up a small business. Now, this was like 40 years ago, and he needed $5,000. And he had no money, he had no credit rating, so he could never get that money. His wife and his teenage kids were disrespecting him because he was injured. They were making fun of him. He had a bad life. So he said to me, and he calls me up on the air now, which I wish he hadn't done, as you'll see why. So he calls in, and of course, my producer doesn't screen the calls. And he says, I am one of Dr. Goldberg's former patients. And he goes into his thing about how we work with hypnosis and going into the future. And he says, Doctor, I just want you to know that I use your techniques and I won exactly $5,000 on the Maryland State Lottery. Not $1 million, not $100 million, but the exact amount of money he needed to buy into his business, which he did. It became successful. Now his wife and kids are respecting him, and he had a life. So you see how the universe worked? It gave him just enough not to, because the universe, people think they can cheat the universe. You can't. The universe is perfect. We're the ones that are messed up, not the universe. So you always want to follow universal laws. Now, as far as the definition of my definition of karma, karma is a Sanskrit term. It means action, reaction. And what it means, basically, if you do a good service for someone, you do somebody a favor, you're going to be rewarded. If you lie, cheat, weasel someone, you're going to have to pay that price. So basically, you want to be able to be positive. Like, for example, sometimes I do favors for people. I have a lot of contacts because I'm a Hollywood consultant, so I'll help people along the way. I don't get anything out of it, but I do it actually selfishly because I know the universe is going to reward me in the future, and it always does. Somebody does a favor for me. So in other words, if you keep your life positive, have a good motive, even if it doesn't work out, but if your motive is pure, the law of karma will help you. There's also a law of abundance too, which is related to that. If you do nice things, the universe will relate you in your professional pursuits, whatever business or profession you're in. So karma is simply lessons to learn. And as you eliminate your karma, then you're ready for ascension.
I have a very pertinent story to tell just about karma and how it works in this regard. Long time ago, I was working with cancer patients. And one of the women who was undergoing the treatment, she was going to sell her house because she couldn't afford to pay for the cancer treatment. And I helped her not to sell her house and to actually have the pharmaceutical company pay for the costs, because I don't know whether that is a ubiquitous practice or not, but at that time, that was probably 15 years ago, the pharmaceutical companies covered the cost of the treatment for people who could not afford it. So I did my extensive research, I've done my work, and I helped her not to sell the house. Her house cost $160,000. So 10 years fast forward, then she was so happy, incredibly happy, because she was able to actually get over cancer and then move to San Diego. And with that money that she sold the house there, she was able to buy a condo here, plus some other money that she added. However, that was $160,000. 10 years later, when I was buying my house here in San Diego, I could not get approved for the loan.
Right.
It was three times already, and I didn't know what to do. So I inquired up, and I said, okay, I need help right now. So what happened is that the place that I wanted to buy... became available. Why? Because the previous person who made a bet on this house could not afford to buy it, or something didn't actually went wrong with the banking system there, with financial system. Yep. And that place, the one that I own now, was $160,000 less. $160,000, and you know, Dr. Goldberg, like the prices for the realty here, that's absolutely incredible.
Yes, right.
Skyrocketed, unbelievably expensive. And that was $160,000 less.
So you're illustrating the karmic aspect. This is the karmic.
This is the import. Exact to the penny.
But look at the numbers here. The numbers are identical. So that's the way the universe works. Remember, the universe is really perfectly constructed. If you look at, if you're familiar with the golden ratio, about yes. how the you know, butterflies and how snails and all these little ratios, the 1.6 to 1, that's the universe. It doesn't have to do that. We have certain constants. We have the speed of light. We have the Planck's constant from quantum mechanics that are absolute, unbelievably intimate mentalities here. So the universe works on universal laws, which are created by perfect beings, not us. They're the ones that you want to adhere to. And they will work specifically and very surgically And yours is a good example of that. So my point is for the listeners or the viewers out there, become more spiritual. You can still do your thing. You can work in your job and raise your family. I'm not suggesting you go into to be a hermit in the desert somewhere. No, do your thing, but you want to keep you want to be honest. You want to have a good moral ethical code. You want to do unto others, which is not a Christian principle. That precedes Christianity by thousands of years. It's an ancient part of the mystery schools of ancient Greece and Egypt and Persia and all these other countries. So you want to do unto others, be cool about things, be positive about life. Always keep your thoughts positive. Even if something is negative happening to you, if you keep your thoughts positive, you're more likely to have a better outcome. Whereas if you think negatively, you're almost guaranteeing a negative outcome. So you always want to become more spiritual. And I like to consider myself to be a realistic idealist. I understand the reality of the world, but I always keep my thinking positive, my motives positive, and usually I get rewarded as the patient that I work with. So the higher self is always the critical aspect here.
I love it. Realistic idealist and pay it forward. Always pay it forward.
Well, you know, I mean, you understand, we live in a society where people have so much baggage. The media programs you negatively, the businesses that people work in, corporations, they're negative. Everybody's so negative. And to me, I don't care about that. I live in the world. Okay, I understand there are three bureaucracies, religion, corporations, and government. None of them are for your best interest, okay? They all have their money and power mentality. Fine, I live in that world too, but I don't care about that. I don't let it bother me. I deal with universal laws, of which these laws basically plagiarize. Universal laws are the ones that count. Those are the natural laws that John Locke would talk about, Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence would talk about. Those are natural laws made by perfect entities, namely the God and nature complex. So if you adhere to those, and you follow those. And in my books, in my Ascension book, I talk about about 20 universal laws, which are the ones that you really need to know. And it gives you an idea of how you can model your life in a very positive way, yet without making major sacrifices. This is not complicated. It's very easy to follow universal laws if you're disciplined and you're a good person. Anybody who can't is usually they got some problems with them that, you know, that they need to have therapy to get rid of. But to me, it's very routine to do that once you understand what they are and simply use your connection with your higher self, you're going to be on a spiritual path. And that's the purpose of the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book, because everything is fifth dimensional. We live in the fifth dimension. It's just that our physical senses can't see beyond three unless you're in an altered state of consciousness like meditation or hypnosis. That's when people can see a poltergeist, a ghost, so to speak, or an astral body, when they're in a alpha brainwave level, not when they're in their regular beta brainwave level that we function in now. Our defense mechanisms and our ego is what we mean by the beta brainwave level. So that's where the fifth dimension comes in. We live in it, but we can access it by connecting with our higher self during our dream levels. When you go to sleep at night, this is medicine here, this is neurology 101, you go through 3 hours of dream levels, broken up into 4 or 5 sleep cycles. Stage 4 of your sleep cycle is the REM cycle, the rapid eye movement, which is an out-of-body experience, and it's an alpha brainwave. It's a very deep level of hypnosis. We call that somnambulism, and that's when you dream, but you're dreaming, you're actually in the fifth dimension. So dreams are real. It's just a different dimension. They're not fantasy. It's a real dimension that you're in when you're having these dream REM cycled experiences throughout the night.
I have a question for you, Dr. Goldberg, that is, of course, pertinent to the fifth dimension. In your book that you published in 2007, Custom Design Your Own Destiny, if we can design our own destinies, are you a proponent of the free will? So do you believe that we can change our future destinies? Because I know that a lot of religious currents, they suggest that our days are predetermined and everything is already spelled out for us in the future. So can we, in fact, design our future? And of course, like in your book that you do write that it is possible. But what do you think about the free will?
So understand, I'm not a big fan of Calvinism, which is predestination. You know, I think it went out about 400 years ago. Even any New Age approach, it's not just New Age, it's also quantum mechanics. Like in Tammy's case, if she went on TWA Flight 800, she would have died in this universe. She changed the future. But the Custom Design Your Own Destiny book is about parallel universes. So, like I say, if there are certain limitations that you have now in your current life that you cannot change, health-wise, your history, whatever it is, then, as I talk about Marissa case in that universe where she went into a different parallel universe living in Los Angeles and had a much better life than she did in the current one. Just like when I changed my parallel universe when my movie was aired, as well as many other things that occurred that have occurred in the last 30 years. So it's a long history and a lot of corroboration, shall we say. So that book is about changing into a parallel universe. But to do that, you have to improve your life now. You have to connect with your higher self, increase the quality, not the quantity, of the soul's energy, the frequency, vibrational rate that makes up your soul. And then you can affect all the parallel universe will be better off. So I always have people grow spiritually now by doing the super conscious mind tap, connecting them to their higher self. Then we do the parallel universe switching, if indicated, as a last resort, not as a first resort. So the Custom Design Your Own Destiny book is all about parallel universes. Now, in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book, about a third of that book deals with parallel universes, where I update it with some more recent cases and techniques. But basically, parallel universes are here. They came out of Einstein's theory of relativity. They come out of the string theory. They come out of the M theory. They come out of astrophysics and quantum mechanics today. Quantum mechanics is the technical name for quantum physics. And so you can't argue math. The math works. So we know that there are parallel universes.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
I'm speechless here. I am speechless.
So and there's just so many different quantum, you know, theories out there. And when you start digging into it, like you said, with the mathematics, it doesn't lie. It just blows your mind. There was another question there in the chat, Dr. Yeah. Goldberg. Is there a relatively easy method to reduce one's ego?
Well, yeah, you contact your higher self. Your ego is the beta brainwave, the defense mechanism, which you never want to change. So if you have an ego issue, which means you're dominating your beta brainwave, okay, all right, by accessing your higher self, you're going to raise the quality of your soul's energy. Think of it as an energy immune system. If you contact your higher self, which is perfect, and let's say the higher self is 100 on a scale from 0 to 100, but let's say you're a 20. By contacting the higher self, you can't lower the soul's energy ever. So you can't lower the higher self. It's always going to be 100. But now your 20 may rise to 25 or 30. So you're increasing the frequency vibrational rate, which is automatically going to decrease the ego issues and all the other things that were associated with negative behavioral patterns. So that's how you can decrease the ego issue and at the same time grow spiritually, because you're moving towards ascension.
You know, that is so absolutely, this is the truth, what you are speaking right now. But, you know, on a funny level, there is a saying of the Russian songwriter, and he was so fantastic in writing songs in the Soviet times. He said, every time I think of myself as a god, I go and I wash the dishes. So bring yourself down a little bit when you feel yourself narcissistically inflamed, your ego is inflamed, go wash the dishes, go do something.
Remember, when you do robotic activities like washing the dishes, doing research on the computer, driving on the freeway, we call that freeway hypnosis, you're in a hypnotic level. So you may think that was cute as a joke, which is fine, but when somebody is doing robotic activity, they're actually in an alpha brainwave.
Still, nevertheless, it's alpha state, exactly.
And then they can connect with the higher self. The higher self is nothing but the perfect part of your soul which you can connect with in an alpha brainwave, not during the analytical, critical defense mechanisms, yada, yada, that people do all day long. So, I work with professional athletes, and I'm a tennis player myself. When you're doing something well in sports, we call that being in the zone. And in the zone is nothing but an alpha brainwave. That means you're functioning from the alpha level and you're going to maximize your ability. You can do that with intellectual abilities, with creative talents. You can do this anything you want. You want to always be in the zone. And that's what the Alpha Technique is about.
Now, Dr. Elliott and I need to do this technique, be in the zone, and actually manifest $500,000 for our project. We need to go.
Yana, universal laws. We're not here. The universe isn't here for our titillation, okay? It's got its own purpose. And the purpose is to provide us with a framework. We have free will. Forget about that predestination garbage, okay? Calvin died a long time ago. We have the free will to be good or not to be good. So I appreciate that. And we're going to have to wrap up this conversation, but I appreciate your interest here. And my website has a lot of techniques on there, exercises. It's got all my books are on there. The CDs are on there. I have videos of me doing regressions and progressions on national television. Even the late Jerry Springer, his past life is on there. For those that are interested. So Time Travel from Our Future is depicted on there too. So there's a lot of fun things that people can do. And of course, I do my therapy sessions by Zoom. So people who want to work with me, they don't have to come to Los Angeles. We can do this anywhere.
Well, that is so fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Goldberg. I learned a lot. Things that I've thought that I knew, now I learned a whole deal. And I'm going to be getting your books and devouring them, in fact, because there's a well of information. And okay. Please.
Your website's drbrucegoldberg.com. Where can people find your books at? Amazon?
Amazon has them. Barnes & Noble has them. But if they get my books, the reason why I rather than buy them from my website, it's dr, small lowercase dr, brucegoldberg.com, is because they get autographed copies, number one. And number two, some of my books come with a free CD, like Exploring the Fifth Dimension, what comes with the fifth dimensional travel to guide you into the fifth dimension. Amazon and the other bookstores won't do that. So they have a much greater advantage by buying them directly from my website.
Great to know. Same with me. I sell my books as well. And if they buy it through the PPRI website, they get the autographed copy and a personal message to them. So, yeah, it's always a nice touch. I like it.
Well, Elliott, it's been a pleasure meeting you and Yana, yourself too. And I appreciate your interest in my work, and your viewers are more than welcome to contact me. So I wish you all a positive fifth dimensional experience.
Thank you very much, and I hope that we meet again.
Thank you now. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Have a good evening.
What a great guest.
Fantastic.
Very, very fascinating. Very, very fascinating. Next week we have Kim Mosher joining us. She is from Eastlink, which is a local Atlantic Canadian broadcasting TV network. She did the show Haunted, not to be confused with the one that's on Netflix. She's also has a medium and psychic abilities. She was a guest speaker at the 2023 Halifax Paranormal Symposium, was extremely popular, and I wanted to bring her back in some sort of capacity. So she's actually going to be our mistress of ceremonies for the 2024 Halifax Paranormal Symposium. And Dr. Yana and I just want to remind you that we do have a website. It's www.scienceandparanormalpodcast.com. And if you guys have any questions, we get a lot of questions through the chat, which is awesome. But if you have other questions that you want us to address on air, send us an email at scienceandtheparanormal@ppri.net. You can also visit Dr. Yana's website at yanagreenberg.me. And you can visit my website at ppri.net. Other than that, what
like us on social media. Like us and share.
we've been trying to take a little bit of a break here, but we're just
not unable to do that. We're just highly conscientious people speaking psychologically here. We cannot take a break. We have to keep working and working.
Yeah, we keep on working. It'll be interesting next week to sit down and talk to Kim. And also, don't forget to whatever you're listening to us on, whether it's YouTube, through Facebook, through our Science and the Paranormal YouTube page. Don't forget to give us a like, a follow, and a subscribe. It just kind of helps us keep track of numbers and help support us. And if anyone out there listening wants to sponsor our show as well, we are always looking for sponsors. We don't have one yet, so you could be the first.
But we are getting one. Remember, we are already connecting our higher selves.
Our higher self and the universe is going to send us one.
Exactly. 500,000. Remember that. Not a penny less, Dr. Elliot. Not a penny less. What are you laughing? You're not taking that seriously.
I love it. No, geez. I'd have to come up with a number in my head, too, that I need, you know, like I'd love to. Yeah, we got to figure something out here. 500,000 is a great start.
Yeah, because
to do even more.
So many times, you know, we play this ESP game, right? Trying to prove our abilities, of course, the extrasensory perception abilities, and that works. Nevertheless, you're still skeptical about it. I can just see that skepticism. Dr. Elliot, your parapsychologist, get rid of that skepticism, you know.
That's what it is. Sometimes I'm skeptical, sometimes I'm not. It just depends. But I do believe in karma. We've talked about that before. So I found that was very interesting. And I did almost like Dr. Goldberg said, where he does, you know, random favors. I do that as well. You know, sometimes it'll just strike me and I'll buy somebody's order in the lineup for Tim Hortons, which is equivalent to in the U.S. you guys have Dunkin' Donuts, so our Tim Hortons would be equivalent to your Dunkin' Donuts. Or there was a lady one time I was at the grocery store, and she was an elderly lady, and I could tell her, like, you know, she might not have been able to afford her groceries, and I ended up putting it on my bill. You know, just random things like that, because I'm the same way as Dr. Goldberg. I honestly feel that when you do good things, you attract good things. And when you're doing negative things and in that negative low vibration, as everyone calls it, you attract that. And so it's always good to stay in that, as he says, the higher plane, or as some people call it, the higher vibrations.
And the most importantly, that we have to do that without any desire to get it back. Of course, that we do good things. And I'm not a proponent of this word karma, because that's, as a concept itself, I think it encompasses all of the concepts of different spiritual traditions, but that they don't exactly have the definition for that, right? So karma, I guess, is the word that would be as a collective word for all of them. And yes, so we have to do that without hoping to get anything in return. That is the only way when it works.
Yes.
I've noticed that so many times, you know, that I always thought that why things are going my way, you know, when I need them, they do come my way. Mm-hmm. And then I trace it back and I say, well, do you remember that you gave so much stuff to this friend? You helped this friend. You help absolutely a known person to you, that I donate so many things. I don't sell them, some things that I sell, but a lot of things that I've been donating. And that it doesn't matter how much it costs. Here we have all this monetary values for that, right? And when we write them off on our taxes. But in fact, what happens is that in the spiritual world, there's no monetary values. So you're going to get as much as that you put forward, as much as you're going to get back. So that story about $160,000 to the penny, that was the exact amount. And I was blown away. And I called my friend and I said, guess what? And then she never thanked me for that. In fact, she never thanked me, which I do not even need the thanks. I guess that was just the universe thanking me for actually doing that out of the goodness of heart, just wanting to help people. I did not want her to live on the street. She needed to have a house, and she was able to keep it and just paying it forward, I guess, to myself, right?
So, yeah, and you're right. Like I said, I do believe it comes back to you. And, you know, even though you're not expecting anything, just by you having put out those positive intentions, does seem to pay it back.
And even if it doesn't pay you back, even if you personally won't get it, your children will, your loved ones will. your grandkids will. So
yes, yeah, I always think of that story in the back of my mind that you told me about your grandfather that didn't do the business deals properly, you know, and then you kind of found like when you were trying to get into a few different ventures that you were having some difficulty. So I always think about that, you know, because if all that does come down through the generations, I don't want, you know, my daughters to have to struggle because of the sins that I've done. So I always keep that in the back of my mind. That story, that's one of the stories you told that stuck with me.
That somehow we get entangled and we pay for the wrongdoings of our ancestors because it is our own line. What is it called in English? Because in Russian, it is called rod. When all of your ancestors are preserving that power for the future generations, that you are able to tap into the power of your ancestors. What is it called? Do we have any concept of that in the Western world?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that would be called, actually.
That's what it is. The Native Americans, they have that as well. Yeah. And they seek the help of the elders, of their ancestors. And that, I believe, that is very helpful. So, yes, indeed. I'm so glad that it stuck with you because it's very important. By accident, I got...
You know what I started doing, too? This show is going to drive me nuts. But what I started to do was after we had Ada Ajic on here talking about curses and stuff like that over in their culture over in Bosnia, they believe not pouring hot water down the sink because it upsets the demonic. So today when I cooked my spaghetti, I ran cold water as I slowly poured the hot water down the sink. I've been doing that now because I'm so paranoid. So.
No, because you know about the pipes and that's going to destroy the pipes. That's what I heard. But the funny thing, let's not do that. You were just trying to preserve the pipes. Don't become paranoid about it. But long time ago, you know, that I learned in the Jewish tradition, that if you take a shower and you spread that to try to get the water off yourself, right? Every time you do that, every droplet produces a demon. Imagine how many demons would be there.
I do that too. I'm gonna be in the psych ward by the end of the show probably.
So no, I don't do that, and of course I splash the water off myself, but what happens is that every time I think about it, because there's some ideas that get stuck in our minds, so let's just get rid of them. You know what, you need a hypnosis session. I'm gonna do the hypnosis on myself not to think about water droplets.
Well, I won't be doing the water droplet thing in the shower anymore now either. I'll remember that.
Well, it was a great show, Dr. Elliot.
It was. Now,
very informative.
Dr. Elliot's orders, you get some rest this week.
This week. We have one more show next week. What are you talking about?
I know. Next week, but you take the rest of this week easy.
Yeah, it's like Robert De Niro. What's the matter with you? What are you talking about?
All right. Thank you, everyone. You were listening to Science and the Paranormal, broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM, based out of New Orleans and also on Roku TV. Thank you so much.
You're chanting there. All right, everyone. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.